Let us now read from the Word of God. We read from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 5. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and glorify and glory, give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, Leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Young people, can you draw me a picture of other people making you angry? You'll see why later on. But can you draw a picture of other people doing things to you that make you angry? Many people don't believe that they're sinners. They think of sin as things like murder. And they may think, or they may even say, well, I've never murdered anyone. We've been doing a series going through the 10 words, through God's law in Exodus 20. And today we come to verse 13 of Exodus 20. You shall not murder. And you may be thinking, well, at least I haven't broken that one. But we'll see, it's maybe not as simple as that. As we look at this verse, I really want to do three things this morning. First, I want us to look at what the Bible says about why murder is wrong. Secondly, I want to look at what the Bible says about how we can murder. And thirdly, we'll look at what the Bible says about what the penalty for murder is. Exodus 20 verse 13 says, you shall not murder. The word murder is a better translation than kill, which some of the older translations used. Kill is a more general term. To kill simply means to end a life. It could be the life of a person, or it could be the life of an animal, or it could even be the life of a plant. And even when the word kill is used to speak about ending the life of a human being, it can be used in many different ways. People are killed by wild animals. People are killed in war. People are killed in certain areas as punishments for particular crimes. The word kill is a very general word. But the word murder, as the Bible uses it, is much more specific. It means one human being intentionally ending the life of another human being when they have no just cause to do so. There are two different words in Hebrew, similar to our words in English, kill and murder. And the word used here in Exodus 20 verse 13 is the word murder. John Piper says that this word is used 43 times in the Old Testament, and that it always means a violent personal killing, that is actually murder or accused as murder. It's never used of killing in war, or, with one possible exception, Numbers 35, verse 27, of killing in judicial execution. The command says, you shall not murder. So first of all, we want to look at what the Bible says about why murder is wrong. We instinctively know that murder is wrong. There's a repulsion that wells up within us at the very thought of one human being taking it on himself to forcibly end the life of another human being. We know murder is wrong. But the Bible tells us that there's more to it than that. The Bible tells us that there's a deeper reason why murder is wrong. If you could please turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9 and verse 6 tells us, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. It's talking about murder. Whoever sheds the blood of man. And then it gives the reason why murder is so evil. It uses the word for. It's giving us the reason. It says, for God made man in his own image. The reason why murder is so terrible is that each human being has been made in God's image. And so if one human being kills another human being, they're not merely attacking that other human being. They're also attacking God's image. They are destroying God's image, which God has made. And so murder is not solely a crime against another human being. It is also a crime against God himself. Exodus 20 is God's law. And the whole of that law is primarily about God. Even the bits that we tend to think that are about other human beings are still also about God. We're to worship nothing besides God. We're not to misuse God's name. We're not to misuse God's day. Last week we were thinking that we are to honour those God has placed in authority over us. This week we're saying that we're not to attack God's image. If someone defaced a statue of Kim Jong-un, what do you think would happen to him? It would be very serious, to say the least. Every human being is made in God's image. In a sense, we are modeled on God. Every human being is, in a sense, like a picture of God. Not in our body, for God has no body. But at a deeper level, in our character, in our being. Maybe we'll be thinking more about that, what that means in Sabbath school. But if we attack a person, We are attacking a picture of God. And if we attack a picture of God, we are coming very close to attacking God himself. You shall not murder. You shall not destroy God's image. That's what the Bible says about why murder is wrong. Secondly, we're going to think about what the Bible says about how we can murder. I said earlier that most people think, well, at least I haven't done that. I haven't shot anyone. I haven't stabbed anyone. I haven't clubbed anyone to death in a dark street at night. But murder can take many different forms. Yes, it can come dressed in a balaclava, but it can also come dressed in a shirt and tie, looking very respectable. I want to think about a few of the forms that murder can take, by no means all of them. Thinking of murder, do you know where the most dangerous place to live in America is? It's in the womb. A girl goes into a clinic and has her pregnancy finished, terminated, they say, by a doctor. What's really happening? One human being is intentionally ending the life of another human being who has done absolutely nothing to deserve it. The Bible says nothing to suggest that the unborn child is not a human being. In fact, the opposite. It consistently refers to the unborn child as a person. Just a few examples. Psalm 51 verse 5. David said that he was sinful from his conception. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. God said that he consecrated Jeremiah before he was born. Luke 1 verse 15. Tells us John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Our so-called civilized society doesn't mind doctors driving scissors into the necks of babies in the womb, sucking out their brains and crushing their skulls. An average of over 4,000 people are murdered every day inside the womb in America. One day, I think, people will look back on the abortions that are taking place today as we look back on the Holocaust. The Nazis killed 6 million Jewish people in 6 years. Do you know how many unborn babies have been murdered in America in the last 6 years? about 9 million. Proverbs 31 verses 8 and 9 tells us, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of those who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy." God tells us to speak up for the defenseless. Can there be anyone more defenseless than the unborn child? If God tells us to speak up, to be silent is to sin. And it's not just the unborn who are vulnerable. Increasingly, the elderly are becoming more vulnerable. In more places, euthanasia is becoming legal. More than that, it's becoming acceptable. It's becoming more common. I think in the years to come, this will become a bigger and bigger issue. Just as now society puts and family puts pressure on young girls to have an abortion, in the future there will be increasing pressure on the elderly, by society, by their family, not to be a burden on society and to end their life. It is happening. And it will happen more and more if current trends continue, unless God changes it. Jesus teaches us more about murder in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, verse 21, he says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders will be liable to judgment.'" And then he goes on to explain how it applies to us in the next verse. "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." So Jesus puts murder and anger together. What's the connection between murder and anger? Well, if anyone murders someone else, it's because they are angry with them. There may be a few exceptions, but that's the rule. You murder someone because you are angry with them. Why else would you murder them? So Jesus is telling us that murder is the end result of anger. Anger is where murder starts. It starts with angry thoughts. It moves into angry words. And sometimes it ends with angry actions. And if murder is wrong, what it starts with is wrong. Now, friends, have any of you ever been angry with anyone? When was the last time you were angry? Probably not too long ago. Jesus is telling us that that is the start of murder. If God left you to your own devices, if he didn't extinguish that anger, that's where it would end up. Has your anger ever boiled over into angry words? That's another step towards full-blown murder. And when your anger forms itself into words or actions that attack another person, what are you really doing? The person is made in the image of God. If your words or your actions attack another person, you're really attacking God's image. As James says in James 3 verse 9, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness, or who have been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. So when you feel your blood boiling about something someone has said or done, remember, that is the first step towards murder. Don't take another step. Don't say another word. Bite your tongue. Pray that God will give you the grace to bite your tongue. Pray that God will keep you from going any further down that road. You young people, what pictures did you draw earlier? What things make you angry? Maybe it's your brother annoying you. Maybe it's your sister pestering you. You older people, what things make you start to fume? Is it bad driving? Is it someone putting you down? Someone shouting at you? Someone not treating you with respect? Someone ignoring you? Is it when your kids refuse to obey? When we get angry with people, we need to remember, as God tells us in his word, that they are made in God's image. It's hard to do it at the time, but it's what we must force ourselves to do. Remember, they are made in God's image. Pray that God will keep you from angry actions. Pray that he'll keep you from angry words. Pray that he'll keep you from angry thoughts. Pray instead that at that moment he will help you to love them. thought about what the Bible says about why murder is wrong, you thought about what the Bible says about how we can murder, the third thing we're going to think about is what the Bible says about what the penalty for murder is. Back to one of the passages we've looked at already, Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. The Old Testament teaches that the penalty for murder is death. But it's not just the Old Testament that teaches that. The New Testament confirms it. In Romans chapter 13, tells us that God has given governments the right to bear the sword in judgment. The sword was used for the death penalty. This is God's law. God makes the rules. And God sets the punishment. And the punishment that he sets for murder is death. Yes, of course we can make lots of arguments against the death penalty. The judge sometimes gets it wrong. We know that. And God was well aware of that fact when he set that punishment. And yet in spite of that, he still chose to make death the punishment for murder. He did that even though he knew that the people who enforced it would make mistakes and would sometimes get it wrong and inflict it on innocent people. And speaking of punishment, let's look again at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5 and verse 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Jesus says that if we think angry thoughts, if we say angry words, we are guilty enough to go into the fire of hell. The Bible tells us that murder deserves death. Jesus tells us that anger deserves eternal death. As you sit here today, Jesus tells you that if you have ever spoken an angry word, ever, you deserve the fire of hell. Don't try to kid yourself that you don't deserve hell. Jesus says you do. Come to him and plead with him to forgive you. And he's promised, whoever comes to me, I will never turn away. He will accept you. He will forgive you for this sin and for every other sin you have ever committed. He'll rescue you from hell and bring you to be with himself in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for all that he rescues us from. We thank you that he rescues us from the murder that is within our hearts, from the anger that is in us. We thank you that if we trust in him, that he takes these sins and every other sin that we have committed on ourselves, that he bears our punishment on the cross, and that he provides us with total forgiveness. Father, we confess that in ourselves we are guilty before you. So often we are angry. Father, we just thank you for Jesus and for his forgiveness. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't yet experienced that forgiveness for themselves, convict them of their sin. Draw them to the Savior. Bring them to his, the wonderful life that he provides. In Jesus' name, Amen.